In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It happens all the time, actually. Pharisees will always make themselves known, and brazenly, maybe with the help of a few drinks, come to challenge Jesus. Teacher, what's the greatest commandment in the law? Because then we'll have a chance. Either you're going to agree with us, and then you'll have to admit that we are right. Or Jesus, you'll say something that we can argue with for a while. And that's okay too. Because then we can show you that you are wrong. Always eager to test. To come up to the local rabbi and catch him. Ready to prove themselves right. Justified. He's majoring in the minor, so what does he know? He's abandoning the traditions of our elders, so he has to be wrong. I would listen to him, but his sermons are just a little too long for me. 24 minutes. Sure, sometimes they're long. And so another Hankinson Oktoberfest comes and goes for the local Lutheran pastors. Pharisees you hardly even met come up to you to test you, to debate with you the finer points of the law, usually the third commandment. Most of all, to justify themselves. And it's not as if the local Lutheran pastors aren't grasping in their minds for a way to justify themselves too. Why didn't I remember your name? Why haven't I visited you in a while? Why, it's probably your fault, not mine. See, I'm starting to feel better about myself already. This, dear saints, is the great difficulty of being a Christian. Actually, of being anyone whose human nature comes in contact with the Word of God. Because the Word of God speaks like no other. It has a power to it. Whenever we take up the Bible, the Scriptures, and we treat it like a textbook, or if we take up a sermon and we think it's like a school lecture, we hide that power of the Word of God. Now, it might be concealed, but the power of God's Word is still there. The Word of God is living and active, Hebrews says, sharper than any two-edged sword, and it pierces to the division of soul and spirit, bones and marrow. God's Word is going to find its mark sooner or later. If we come to the Bible or to the preacher and we're looking for self-help or self-affirmation, we will always go away instead with a time bomb that's ticking, that's waiting to go off in us. If we were more honest, we would come to God's Word looking for correction and for guidance. But even so, even then, we still will go away from God's Word or from a sermon or from a preacher with a lot more than just some interesting thoughts to ponder or forget, or some nice ideas to try out. We will leave with Jesus' answer from today's gospel reading, which means we will leave with something of a demand on us. A simple, an easy to understand, and a very, very good demand. Love. You love the Lord your God. And since that might be too abstract for us, seeing that God can't be texted or hugged, love your neighbor as yourself. Or as John in his epistle says, no one can say that they love God whom they have not seen, if they despise their brother whom they have seen. The Pharisees come looking to tangle up Jesus. Is it because they hate him? Maybe. But I suspect that most people who waltz up to their pastor to have a chat and to come out on top don't actually hate him. I don't think they hate Jesus either. They just know instinctively that a debate is going to be the only way that they might be able to shift the spotlight of God's law off of themselves. That never-ending, that true, good, and impossible demand and expectation that we constantly and in every way actually love. Which bothers them in every place that they have not loved. We try to defend ourselves, I think. We look at the story and we say that Jesus really is the one to blame. He's the one who had awkward social skills. Jesus didn't catch what was going on. These Pharisees were just bantering with him, right? And instead, he got all serious and he spoke the word of God as it was intended to be spoken. And that accused those people and ruined the banter. This is how it is with sermons. Whether they're long or they're short, they tangle us up in God's law. They aren't just Bible lectures. That would be fine. We could turn them off if we wanted. No, instead they proclaim the living and active word of God. And that's why we wind up getting accused by them, convicted even, pinned down as if we were the sinners, rather than everyone else that we can think of who probably needs to hear it more than I do. But what could we say back to it, other than, sure, it's true, but I wish you wouldn't say so. Now, Jesus is the master of this, isn't he? All he preaches in today's reading, when he's talking with these Pharisees, all he preaches is love. Something so nice as that. Except it's not the idea of love. It's the expectation that you, whoever you are, whoever lives with you and around you, you shall love. This is the greatest of the commandments. So the scribe who went to test Jesus got put in his place. He went back to his little circle of Pharisees. They're chatting with each other and they don't know what to do. What glares do you think they were shooting back at Jesus? What words do you think they were muttering under their breath? Out of earshot, thankfully. And then would you describe any of those words and those glares as love? But here's where the story gets really interesting. Jesus breaks into this circle of chittering Pharisees and he asks a question of his own. Here we go. But it isn't a question to trap. Not really. It is the chief and the most wonderful question. It's a question that frees. Come on, Jews, you Bible experts. Tell me about the good part. Stop testing and trying to prove that you are all right and tell me about the Messiah that God promised to you. What do you think of the Christ? Whose son is he? David's, they say. He comes from David's line. He's from Judah's tribe. Is this your comeback, Jesus? We're not dummies. But how then does David, speaking by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in Psalm 110 that we just prayed, how does David call his son Lord? How can the Lord say something to his Lord at all? And how can David speak about his descendant, his child, or great-grandchild, and call him by the name that only belongs to God? The tragedy is that the Pharisees, who had so much to say about the law and about themselves, now have nothing to say about this. Nothing to think about the Christ. And from them on, it says in the text, they never even questioned or asked anything of Jesus again. From then on, certainly, they were haters. They were angry. They were trying to put Jesus to death constantly. But to answer that question that Jesus asked, what do you think about the Christ? That answer is not a trick or a trap of any kind, nor is it a demand. It is a promise and a miracle of grace. David's son is the eternal Son of God, born in time, from the descended flesh of David, from Mary. The Christ, as David had already said long ago, is the God-man, God incarnate, God among us and with us and one of us, all so that he can be God for us. Here is what every Pharisee needs, every pastor, every parent, every child, every self-defensive sinner, including the ones who hate to be called sinners or feel accused. You need David's son. You need David's son, who is David's Lord. And that, too, is still a bit offensive. Because I'm not finished with the law yet. I haven't proved myself right yet. I still have a case to make for myself. Why this commandment is greater than that one. Why this sin really isn't worth being mad about. Or how my love for myself counts as love for God and for my neighbor. As myself, right? It doesn't. And that should make me silent. Except maybe for Lord, have mercy. Don't be afraid to ask Jesus for that. Because David's son is David's Lord, and he must be. Because in this is love. Not that we loved God or our neighbor, but that God loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for your sin. Jesus the Christ came not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He has come as the mediator and the fulfiller of the law. He has loved God. He has loved his neighbor. He has loved even the Pharisees who rejected him. He has loved the pastors who would rather have had a beer and listened to polka than speak the word that they were given to speak. He loves the ones who despise God's word and who dare to blame him for it. And he loves everyone else in between. He has loved you. He has redeemed you, a lost and condemned person. You are bought back from worthlessness and hopelessness. You are purchased and won from all sins. Purchased and won from all lovelessness. And so you are snatched away also from death's grip and from the devil's power. You are redeemed not with money, not with tricky legal loopholes or debating, not by any mere mortal's blood, a son of David, but by God's blood poured out for you. That is how wonderful it is that David's son is David's Lord, that God hangs in the balance for us so that our side of the scale goes up and we are saved. The law of love on which everything hangs, Jesus says, on which you and I find ourselves hanged and condemned for not loving God above all and loving our neighbor even less. Christ has hanged it on his cross. He has hanged it in himself, hanged high before the Father's wrath in our place. God's word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of joints and marrow, soul and spirit. Those who come to test themselves against it will fall on that sword. They will stumble on the stumbling stone of Jesus Christ. And they'll be broken to pieces, Jesus says. Thank God that the Lord's word is living and active. It raises those that it slays. It raises them to life. It gives to you, to me, who have no righteousness of our own, gives us a righteousness that exceeds that of every scribe and Pharisee. It ends your self-righteousness and it gives you Jesus Christ, David's Son and David's Lord, in whom God has fulfilled his own demand for you. What do you think of the Christ? Here is the Lord who loves you, who forgives you, who has redeemed you. No tricks, no tests, only mercy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.